Welcome to Sonata Secrets with Henrik Chilham, unlocking the world of classical music. Chopin's first 12 etudes were published as a set of Opus 10 in 1833, but they were written during the years leading up to that. Chopin was a young man. He grew up in Poland and eventually studied in Warsaw. But in 1830, he set out for the wide world of Europe. He started with Vienna and then continued to Paris, and he basically ended up living in Paris for the rest of his life. But the same year as he left Poland, in 1830, there was a revolution attempt against the Russian rule of the country, called the November Uprising. And in 1831, Chopin receives news about this revolution that it had failed. And he was very upset about it. He wrote in his diary, "All this has caused me much pain. Who could have foreseen it?" So clearly he was a Polish patriot, even though he lived most of his adult life in France. So according to the legend, Chopin poured all his anger and frustration about this into this piece of music. And eventually, after his death, it came to be known as the Revolutionary Etude. So this whole revolution idea, it is actually a very logical application of an extra musical narrative, because it is supported by the material. It's very driven and forceful and even aggressive music. It starts off with a bang and an intense run in the left hand down. And just look at all these markings. Allegro con fuoco, with fire. Energico, energetic. And con forza, with force. And all the accents. And then we have this dotted rhythm in the right hand. It's like a march signal, a trumpet call to arms. Bam, ba-dum. And so the call triggers the rundown again in the left hand. And a second call now. It's 1, 2, 3, take off. The third time, it's in both hands and more intense. But we eventually kind of get settled down, and the left hand takes over, and we get these swelling waves. So this is also the motoric element of the etude, what you're supposed to practice. And it's a very clever construction of an arpeggio with C minor, but with a passing note, with a D. And up and down. So it's very firmly in C minor. And Chopin was a big fan of Beethoven, and you can almost hear the influence of the Appassionata, a sonata Beethoven wrote in F minor. The third movement there. It's the same idea Beethoven has, it's just a different execution of it. And back to the etude, in these motions we always have the hairpins as well, crescendo up and down in the left hand. So it's like a lot of energy is bubbling just under the surface, and it breaks through a lot throughout the piece, just like a revolution. Right hand enters with a kind of a main theme, this same dotted march rhythm that's thematic throughout the piece for the right hand. Appassionato. And directly an echo lower down. Forte again. And some kind of outburst here. Now the wave is expanded for two bars and with the chromatic notes instead. And now we get the repeat of this idea, but start piano and echo again. now. And we take a new turn, the second time with the F7. And then we get this lovely syncopation. It's very impatient. It's like, when are we gonna have the revolution? Not later, but today. And it's gonna be glorious. But there are obstacles to overcome, and there are dark forces that don't want to see us succeed. But we will fight. And we will overcome, and it will be glorious. But let's not get stuck in the fantasy. Now is not the time to dream. Now is the time to fight. And we're back with the same call that kicks off the piece in a recapitulation. So we're gonna get the same melody again. So this is kind of a developmental middle section. And the left hand is much more uncertain, going around and up and down in the chords instead of the straightforward waves that we have otherwise. And it starts with just the minor chord. In the circular fifth. But then we have this sequence in a rising direction. Kind of a triumphant climax. It's, even if it's a minor chord, it sounds triumphant because it's so high up, it has reached to a high point in the melody. And we get major on the way down, F minor to D flat major with a suspension. And now instead of D flat major, we get this D half diminished, turning to a G major that's a dominant to C minor. So now when we get the return, the recapitulation, the march signal in the right hand are kind of expanded with more chromatic notes in between. It's going really pushing even more intense, but the left hand is pretty much the same. And this gesture is really like you can feel the fighting spirit in this gesture. You really need to push yourself as a pianist to the limit to hold this chord arpeggio. Okay, now ready for the second round. Now it starts forte directly. The first time, the second round is piano, but now. Now we go here instead. This is the same turning point all the times, but we go in different direction. So the first time it's always a diminished, and we go here, or, and the second time in the exposition or the first A section, we go with the F7 to B flat major. We get the syncopation, and now the second time in the recapitulation, we get the diminished again. But we go here. This is like the promised land that awaits us after the revolution. It's a G flat major, but in second inversion with D flat in the bass. It's the type of chord that always makes you want to stand straight. And again, it's a sequence going down. Now it's F flat in second inversion, or E major, it feels like at the piano. And a third time, now we're down to E flat, second inversion, and so this is a lovely progression when we have E flat, major, second inversion, and then turning back. We're kind of in a E flat major territory or somewhere, but then turning back with a G. First inversion, third in the bass, that's a dominant to C minor and suspension on the top. It's a little bit sentimental almost here. But now we get the final wave, it's expanded to four bars of chromatic. But it kind of gets a bit thwarted towards the end. Smutsando is dying out and the melody just stops like in the middle of it. And now we get for the final bars, sotto voce, soft voice, or just soft. The dynamics go down, it's not forte anymore, but the suspense is almost at its highest because we keep the energy with the 16th notes. It's also like a typical Beethoven move to have fast notes, like 16th notes, but piano, it's very high suspense, like the Moonlight Sonata third movement. And then he surprises. So keep the suspense up here. Now we're in C minor, but it's a typical way of going to the ending cadence, going to F minor, if it's C minor, so with... because then you're close back to the dominant. You always hear this like in Bach towards the end, and this is what we get there. And this is yet another Beethoven reference. This is almost like a homage to Beethoven's last piano sonata, number 32 in C minor, that Chopin liked that sonata particularly. And in the end of the first movement there, we have a place that sounds very similar to this. It's kind of the same idea in the left hand again. It sounds like this. So with a 16th note in the left hand and the chords in the right hand. Let's take it again. But we have to do something with the suspense. It's gonna end with a bang as well, because it's revolution. And just those final chords, putting an end to all the discussion. Now it's time to act.
Thanks for watching Sonata Secrets. And the Patreon shoutout in this episode